Architecture Talks, the podcast about architecture from Jung.
Crisis as an opportunity, new concepts for sustainable tourism. The tourism industry thrives on the power of eternal reinvention. The Alpine region is a good example for this. Since some time, we observe that architecture can be a fundamental part of a hotel's formula for success. On both sides of the Alps, an awareness of building culture has emerged, referring to architectural projects of high quality with a strong focus on regional identity and context. After all, how do you combine tradition with future for an authentic experience? Which strategies do you have to use in order to visually and structurally change from one generation to the next, or even to make a new start? How do deceleration and sustainability matter as marketing factors? And what opportunities result from the current pandemic situation for the architecture of hospitality and touristic facilities? We, Katrina Patrice Varga and
Diane, talk about all these questions with Peter Pichler of Peter Pichler Architecture. Hello and welcome to today's Jung Architecture Talks podcast. It's great to have you with us today, Peter.
Hello, thank you. It's great to be here.
In your young career, Peter, you already realized prestigious projects joined by well-known names like Zaha Hadid and Rem Koolhaas, followed by your decision to found Peter Pichler Architecture in Milan with your partner Silvana Ordinas in 2015. Since then, several projects were constructed. For example, the Oberholz Mountain Hut in Obereggen at almost 2,100 meters above sea level, or the Hotel Skagula in Castelrotto, to name only two. How was your cooperation with the owners initiated, Peter?
The cooperation was initiated with an invited competition. So if we do these invited competitions, of course, you have a meeting with the client, and that's fundamental for us to meet the client, not just to see the site, but also to talk to the client, to understand his vision and what he really wants or what he's actually expecting from us. And also, we always ask him a question like why he's coming to us. Is there any project or is there something that he has seen from our side? And so you get into these discussions. And I think what is very important that the chemistry is right in between us and the client. And that's fundamental because I think that every good project needs a good client. And as an architect, you can just go as far as your client lets you go somehow. So that's very important for us.
You once said in an interview, you can only make something new if you understand the old. You design and build not only in your wonderful home country of South Tyrol, but all over the world. So including Abu Dhabi, the USA and the Netherlands and so on. What strategy do you have to capture as much as possible of the respective context in a short time?
I mean, context for us is fundamental, but when I or when we think about context, it's not necessarily the physical context. Context goes way beyond the physical surroundings of the site, I would say. I think context is more the culture of a specific place, to understand that culture and to understand tradition of that place. And in almost all our designs, I would say, we start research with tradition of a specific place. So we don't start with a certain geometry. Of course, we start with program as well, but it always starts with the place itself and the history of the place. And I think if you're able to understand that history and your design is somehow led by the history, you can always explain it in a meaningful manner, designed to the client. And the client will always understand the history of the place. And if you start with history as your first initial, let's say, your inspiration, for example, then you can really lead the client to your design. And I think that's fundamental because a client or most of our clients, design is always something that you understand or you like it or you don't, but tradition is a fact. So if you're able to base your design on a tradition, you're coming with arguments that the client will understand. And that's something that worked pretty well so far, I think. And that's something that's very, very important for us. And again, the culture of a specific place, how people used to build, what materials they used, what expertise they had, that's something very important for us. There was also in the 60s a show by a famous Austrian-American architect writer, Bernard Rudofsky, who had a show in the 60s in the MoMA New York, which was called Architecture Without Architects. So he was basically analyzing ancient structures, how people used to build without being architect in that sense. So what they did is, of course, they used local materials, they used the winds, they used water. That's what people later tried in a sustainability concept, like to somehow but greenwash it and fake it. People did that like a long time ago. And this is something that really, really inspires us. And this is something that, again, goes back to the context and to local and goes back to tradition in the end. That's very important for us and in general for the thinking and the theory of our studio.
Now, the pandemic is forcing the hotel industry to react. Have the requirements of your clients changed in the last few months or even the last year, actually? And what are you thinking about currently?
I mean, I think the whole industry changed, not just, of course, the hotel industry as well, but of course, office spaces to rethink how we will live, how we work. The last couple of months, we saw like extremely fast changes in an extremely short amount of time. I think absolutely, like if we talk about tourism concepts, we have absolutely clients that came to us and asked us to develop with them together a completely new way of tourism. But this happened already before the pandemic. And now through the pandemic, we just realized that these concepts that we had before are even much, much stronger right now in the current situation. Of course, like this whole smart working situation was basically triggering or forcing these ideas that you can basically work anywhere at any time. Of course, not every work can be done anywhere at any time, but it's going to be different in the future. So also the hotel industry, the understanding could be that you're not going to a hotel for holidays, but you can combine it with work as well. So you can somehow be in a hotel, be connected with nature. Maybe you're much more inspired, maybe if you work in the middle of a forest or in front of a lake and you need to do creative work, but you can just close your laptop for a minute and have a run or have a walk with your family in the forest or go to swim. I think that's something that is much more productive than sitting like 10 hours in an office space and trying to, I don't know, to achieve in a certain amount of time, the most amount of work, basically. So I think the whole tourism industry is going to change. I think we will discover places. And I also think about myself, the world became a little bit smaller. And maybe in the future, like you don't need to go as far. Like for sure, you will always do long distance trips, I guess, because also for your kids, maybe they want to see once New York and they want to see Paris, maybe. But I think that in the end, like holidays, I could imagine that you travel to shorter destinations and discover places that are actually very close to your place where you live, but you have never seen them because you didn't even realize that they exist. And there are many of those. And I'm not talking about Italy. There are so many places that I haven't been there, which are just simply amazing. The same thing happens everywhere in Europe. Things that I was there last weekend at a place in Austria that I didn't even know that it exists, and it was just amazing. This is going to be an important fact that we will travel less. We will have also not travel less, but we will have less useless traveling, I guess. Like all these kind of business flights during the week, like to travel from Milan to Rome just to sign or to rethink about the contract, you will do that online. And you see it already now. Like this also in Germany, flights, Munich, Düsseldorf, or Hamburg, Munich, like for business, this thing will be dead, I think. I don't believe in that anymore because it's just a waste of time in the end. But before, people didn't realize. And I need to say that when we were working at home in March, and everybody was forced, of course, to work from home, so our client needed to face a situation that we couldn't travel. So they were forced to do online calls. But we realized, of course, that you save a lot of time. You don't need to take flights. And it's basically better for everybody.
I think sometimes the traveling time also gives you the opportunity to think about special things. Like flying is not really productive, but sitting in the train and working might be a very productive thing. But let's go back to the hotel topic. Isn't it a contradiction to combine the topic of smart working with a holiday experience where people usually want a break from work? Or what would you say is new about the idea? I mean, you already said it's not really new because of the pandemic. You were already discussing this with your clients before. But what would you say are the new needs people have in that point?
If we think about a hotel and we think about the holiday, you know, if we think about, okay, in summer I go for holiday and maybe I go in winter for a holiday. And there, of course, I have these 2 weeks or 10 days where I don't want to bring my laptop. I want to shut down. I just want to have any business calls and I just want to have my freedom. And then you maybe travel like far away in a place, you know, you want to be far away from home and you don't want to work. So maybe if you think about that, you could have like more smaller holidays or just also weekends or like 4 or 5 days. Where you could travel not that far away, but you're basically 1 hour or 2 hours from your hometown, and you can combine the two just like to be more efficient and more effective at working as working from home, because that's another situation that, of course, if you are working from home with your family, a lot of people have kids at home. So that can be also very, very stressful, especially at the moment with homeschooling. So it can be stressful. So I think if you take your entire family for a couple of days outside, and somehow this combination of, you know, life balance and work, I think you're just much more productive. Like I see it with myself that when I'm away, like for a few days, like also my wife is from Mallorca and you're there sitting at the beach, like the ideas are coming there. When you're out in nature, the ideas are not coming here in the office. Like that's an illusion that you sit down for 1 hour, you need to do a competition and you have a piece of paper and you start to design a building. That's an illusion. That's a total illusion. I mean, you can start to do that. You can start with a program. You can start technical things, but the real ideas sometimes they are coming when you are, I don't know, when you're out in nature, when you're especially, I mean, I'm talking about creative work. I'm not talking about spreadsheets in Excel, but what we are doing is, of course, a creative work. Then, of course, it has also the technical aspect, but every project starts with this, you know, creative somehow procedure. I think especially for people working in creative industry, this can have a lot of benefits because in the end, what matters is the result. It's not about how many hours you work. It's about what is the result? What is the product? Like that needs to be good. Then if that result is achieved that you need to sit 10 hours in an office or you're outside in the forest, you know, that's up to you. But I think you can be just more efficient. And you have better ideas if you are surrounded by an environment that inspires you.
And you can free your mind somehow, no? I mean, nature always helps you to free your mind and to forget about some stressful things and just like be open for the new things coming up.
You know, a lot of people these days in tourism are talking about luxury. And what is luxury in the end? Luxury is a definition. And for somebody that is the whole week on business trips and in hotels, luxury doesn't mean to have this 5-star hotel with 5 saunas and I don't know how many treatments and a pool. Like luxury for this kind of people is if you're outside the forest, your phone is not working and nobody can reach you and you need to be there and make your own fireplace at night. So that's the luxury and that's the experience. And in the end, it goes back to an experience. It goes away from this time, I think, from this material world to own something physically. But I think it's more about the experience this day that you with your family or with your friends, it's this weekends or this experience that you will always keep in your mind. And it's less this material world to own this amazing villa or car or whatever. I think everything goes more into experience. And that's something that makes the difference.
What I think also is connected to this whole idea is sustainability. We also heard you say, we believe that the future of tourism is based on the relationship of the human being with nature, what we just talked about. And well-integrated, sustainable architecture can amplify this relationship. Nothing else is needed. Is it really that simple?
It's a bit more complex than that. But in the end, that's the thing to achieve somehow. I'm 100% convinced that great architecture, or like architecture at a certain level that is able to somehow blend with nature or have this bond with nature, people will feel that. You feel that. It's a spatial experience. Like if you go to the most amazing place, but then you see like buildings there that just don't fit, and you go into that building and you just feel comfortable, this idea of well-being and, you know, the spatial experience. And that's something that is fundamental, I think. It starts with the materials that you touch, you know, the haptic sense, the smell. So everything is somehow related there in the architecture. And if you're able to connect the architecture with nature, that becomes almost like a seamless transition. Yes, that's the perfect project for me. When you see something and say, this thing belongs to the place. But if you think about that it belongs to the place, it's always related again to the culture, as we discussed before. So again, we come back to the culture. Wherever you build, you need to understand the people and you need to understand the culture. You have a total different understanding of spaces in the Middle East than in Europe. Like it's a total different understanding of privacy. It's a total different understanding of spaces because they have all big, very, very big families. They build like houses that are just much, much bigger because the weekends they are there in 30 people and every weekend. So there is this understanding of culture that is fundamental.
Listening to you, we feel a lot of passion. Might this be the reason that you rarely talk to architects about architecture, but prefer to talk to enthusiastic people from other sectors? And does this mean that the architectural world is far too concerned with itself instead of thinking outside the box?
I really don't like to go. I mean, of course, we go to architectural events and to lectures, but that's the real problem in my eyes, that you go to an event, everybody's asking, and what are you doing? And what are you doing? And it's this, and it's this. I prefer to be in a different environment. I love to be at events or lectures where I'm the only architect and the rest of the people is coming from completely homogeneous. That's something that is very, very inspiring. You're just speaking about the architecture, but actually the architecture is influenced by all the rest. The architecture is the physical product itself, but the architecture is related to a lot of things outside. So I'm more interested to understand like things outside and to understand like the different approach of different people that are experts in their fields and in their genre. That's something that inspires me a lot. And it can also be clients. We have clients that can be very inspiring because they give you an input in terms of design, but they have a very analytical thinking, or they know what is the problem. And if they start to explain you why they think in a certain way, if you're able to understand that, the design is going to be different and adapted to that. So I think, again, to be surrounded by experts from different fields and from different genres, it's something that inspires me a lot. And again, like to go to architectural events, it's fine, but it's something boring at the same time because everybody's just discussing the same things and everybody, we're just discussing around the same circle and the same loop. So I think, what's the point there? Like we need to be open, like go outside, go to understand the world, go to understand the people. Architecture comes at the last, you know. First, there's always a client. First, there are politics. They're on a higher level. And then comes the architecture, not the other way around. Like a lot of people say that architects have a lot of power. Do we have that? I don't think so. Like at least like we're always just the end product of a certain brief somehow that somebody else is defining for us. You know, if you go out to understand better the world, I think you will be more successful as an architect.
So let's not talk about architecture, but let's switch to guest experience. The perfect guest experience is not only about the stay itself, as we said already, but also about additional services or offers, or especially the cuisine. What was your last personal and memorable food experience?
3 days ago, we were visiting a site in Austria, and there was exactly this group of people that came together to discuss a new project, but to discuss it from a completely new approach. Actually, the client itself is totally into sustainability and bio. He has his own Fischzucht, like fish production, and experience. You just see the fish and then cook that fish that comes from the best water in the Alps. That's something that inspires me. And that's something, this holistic approach. Also, if we go back to tourism, the architecture can go to a certain point, but you need to have a 360-degree concept that starts with the food, that starts with the gastronomy. Like, people want to eat local. Like, you don't need to have like this 20, 30 menus at all time, or food or dishes. Like, just have five, but the five are local, are the best, right? And you can also make them fresh. If you want to be successful in tourism, you need to understand the 360 degree. From the architecture to the dish, it needs to be like one single red line that is connected somehow. So this was very inspiring on Saturday. So this was actually something that happened. Maybe it was also because, of course, with the whole lockdown situation, you didn't go to any restaurant for a couple of weeks, but that was really something in a very small circle. These are the small experiences that are really like, you know, this is context for me. The context starts with this sitting together with the client, and there are different expertise from tourism. There was a famous cook from Austria there. So he explained us his dishes, his local dishes, how he prepares everything local, everything, you know, cradle to cradle. We discussed, you know, theories. We discussed where is this whole thing going. And this is context. Then you have the physical context, you go to see the site, which is, of course, fundamental for the project. But if the first discussion and this first input is not the right thing, is not this right chemistry, then also the project cannot be good.
Is that the place you didn't know that it exists, what you were just talking about in Austria?
Yes, exactly. That's the place where I didn't know that it exists. And it's something like a hidden gem. And it turns out something spectacular. And you see just opportunities, and you see the right people sitting together at the table. And this is something that you can really see sometimes if this is going to happen or not. You know, you need to understand the right chemistry, the right people. So, but then I think it has potential. And then that's something that inspires you then. You come back and you're just, okay, let's do it.
Thank you very much for sharing your time and your thoughts with us. We'll be sure to hunt for your tracks and our next holiday destination, thanks to your approach.